Open your Bibles with me this morning to Genesis chapter 39. Choose for us, Lord, nor let our weak preferring cheat us of good thou hast for us designed. Choose for us, Lord, thy wisdom is unerring, and we are fools and blind. Let us press on in patient self-denial. Accept the hardship, shrink not back from the loss. Our portion lies beyond the hour of trial, our crown beyond the cross. Between the pit and the prison, there was some brief sunlight for Joseph. Now his sky is overcast again. He had it good in Potiphar's house for a while. But when Potiphar heard the accusation made by his wife against Joseph and saw Joseph's garment in her hand, his wrath burned against this Hebrew slave in whom he had put all of his trust, and he was unwilling to hear any explanation. It only makes sense that a man's going to believe his wife over a slave. A trial is unnecessary. Potiphar has the authority to do whatever he pleases with the slaves in his own household. In spite of his high position, Joseph really is still just a slave, and so he has no rights. Potiphar, you might recall, we looked at last week, is the chief of the executioners. And he had the right to put a slave to death if he wanted to, and he had the right to put Joseph to death. But look there at Genesis chapter 39, verses 19 and 20. When his master heard the story his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me," he was furious and had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. I think the only explanation for this is God's protection over Joseph, because God had a plan for Joseph, because I don't see any other explanation for why Potiphar just didn't have him killed. Why wouldn't you? Why would you take one of your slaves who has such an accusation against him and throw him into the king's prison? Why not just get rid of him? He's nothing but property to you. So this has to be God working in Potiphar's mind to give him the idea of preserving Joseph's life by simply throwing him into prison. In fact, this is the prison that Potiphar himself was in charge of. So maybe there was some amount of thinking on Potiphar's part that maybe his wife wasn't telling the truth, but he still had to side with her. So he throws Joseph in prison. This morning, I'd like for us to look at three things from this part of Joseph's life. I want us to look at the severity of his suffering, the benefit of his suffering, and the comfort in the midst of his suffering. So let's begin with the severity of Joseph's suffering. This prison is not like we have in our country today. Nobody wants to be in prison. Prison's not great, but in an American prison today, even maximum security, you're going to have things like a bed to sleep on, probably air conditioning and heat in the facilities. I would imagine TVs and internet and library, those things are probably available to prisoners to some extent. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of prisons in some other countries, like Scandinavian countries, it's kind of like living in a college dorm room. And I don't mean that lightly. I mean, I've seen the pictures of some of the prisons. I can't think specifically of which country was the best out of those. But we saw just recently a series of pictures of prisons in these Scandinavian countries. And my goodness, Debbie and I have talked about maybe for retiring, we just go commit a crime over in one of those countries and we've got it made. It's nice. obviously nobody wants to be in prison, but it's not that bad of conditions in some of these prisons that we've got nowadays. But the word prison that's used here in this, in Genesis chapter 39, if you look at the Hebrew word is bor, and what that word literally means is a hole. And if we were to look at even the king's prison in Egypt all those many thousands of years ago, we would probably say, yeah, compared to what we got today, that's a hole. I'm sure it was not nice. I'm sure it was dark, filthy, probably miserable conditions. It was the conditions they would have considered suitable for prisoners. It's hard for a young man who has grown up on the open plain, who's lived in tents and has tended sheep and done other things like that with his brothers, always out in the open, it would be hard to find yourself in prison. Confinement, I think, is intolerable to all of us, but to somebody like Joseph, it would have been maybe worse than death to have to be in prison and confined like that. There's an old story about a sailor that was seen on the London Bridge, and he had purchased cage after cage of birds, and he was releasing them into freedom in the open air, letting all these birds go that he had purchased. And when he was asked, "Why are you doing this?" he said, "Because I've spent too many years in a foreign prison, and I understand what freedom feels like. And I even want creatures like birds to experience that freedom." We don't realize how priceless freedom is until we lose it. Joseph never valued freedom, I think, as highly as when he found himself shut up in the hole. He was only in the pit that his brothers threw him in for a short time before they sold him. And you know, they sold him into slavery that ended up being Potiphar's house, which not too bad. But now he's really in the hole. He's in prison. And he's not afraid to admit that he doesn't want to be there. He is gladly willing to admit that he wants to get out of there. If you'll go to chapter 40 and look at verses 12 through 15 with me. Chapter 40, verse 12, he says, "This is the interpretation," Joseph said. He's giving the interpretation to the chief cupbearer. And he says, "The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. He will put Pharaoh's cup in your hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that should put me in the dungeon." He's not afraid to say, "Just do something to get me out of here. I've given you a nice interpretation to your dream, and you're going to be in front of Pharaoh again. Could you just, I don't know, remember me? Because I'd really like to get out of here." It is true that God prospered Joseph even in prison, though. Go back to chapter 39. Let's go to verses 21 to 23. "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful." Does that sound familiar? Remember when he was in Potiphar's house? The Lord was with him and made everything that he did successful. Everything prospered. It's true here in prison, but it doesn't change the fact that he's in prison. And nobody wants to be in prison. He had likely grown up learning the theory that was so prominent among those of ancient times. This theory was prominent amongst Job's friends, if you look in the book of Job. And that theory is that good things come to those who are good, and bad things come to those who are bad, right? I think even that thinking prevails in a lot of people's minds today. That was a prevalent thinking in Jesus' day. Remember, there were those who came to Jesus at one point and pointed to a blind man. He was blind since birth. And they said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Did his parents sin? Or is it some sin that this man committed that somehow he was born blind because of the sin he would commit? What was Jesus' response to that? It wasn't because of anybody's sin that caused this man's blindness, but he's blind so that the Son of Man can be glorified, and he healed him and gave him his sight. There was no accident there. It was all part of God's plan. But Joseph had probably grown up learning that divine favor, divine anger, based on what you do kind of idea. And obviously, Joseph had tried to be good his whole life, and he was always obedient to his father. And then when he was in Potiphar's house, he was a man of integrity, and he was obedient to his master. And what did he gain? Prison. Why be kind to the other prisoners? Why continue to reach out and be a man of service? Why be somebody who would strive to rise to a place of authority within the prison? I've done everything right, and where has it gotten me? It's gotten me in prison. Why should I do any of this stuff? What happened? Lord, what happened to the dreams that I had? You gave me dreams that suggested greatness for me. Were these dreams not from you, God? Were these a trick from some other spirit? What is going on? Is there no truth? God, have you forsaken me? Has my father forgotten me? Do my brothers even think of me anymore? Will my brothers ever repent of what they've done and come try to find me and get me out of here? Is this it? Is this where it ends? Is this what my life was all about, is just to end up here in this prison? A hole in the ground? I would imagine that there were probably times when Joseph wondered all of those things. But we can find ourselves in a situation at times, maybe not as extreme as Joseph's situation, but we can find ourselves in a situation where we've been treated unjustly. We find ourselves in difficulty, and maybe we think to ourselves, have I been too honest? Have I messed up somehow that I didn't realize? Maybe you've tried to reach out to somebody in kindness, and their kindness has, or your kindness has come back as misrepresented by them. Maybe you've been falsely accused at some point in your life in some way. I think all of us can relate to some extent to the pain of injustice in something. Even maybe you might think back to your childhood when your parents accused you of doing something and you knew it wasn't you. In fact, you knew who it was, but they didn't listen to you. We all know that feeling to some extent. But here's the thing about Joseph. He did not give up. You look at the circumstances at this point for Joseph, and a lot of people would. I mean, we even have to ask ourselves that, don't we? We have to ask, what would run through my own mind if I found myself in prison after a life of obedience? Joseph didn't give up, even in the midst of horrible injustice, agonizing imprisonment. He continued to trust God. The Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy. That's the difference. That's the difference in Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph. God had a purpose for Joseph, and God had a purpose for each thing that happened to Joseph. Joseph is one of those people that at the end of his life, he could look back and he could tell the young ones, there are no accidents. So let's consider the benefit of Joseph's suffering. If there are no accidents, if God has a purpose in all things and works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, then there must be some benefit to Joseph's suffering. In Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18, we read this. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with shackles. His neck was put in an iron collar. A more literal rendering of that clause in the Hebrew is this: his soul came into iron. I think it's important for us to understand what's being said in the Hebrew there, to get that literal rendering. His soul came into iron. There is the literal sense that Joseph was in iron. He was shackled. He was in prison. But through this experience, his character was forged and strengthened. He came into iron. He became iron as a result of the experiences that he had. One person said this: God fills our lives with challenges, not bonbons, because it is the challenges that bring us closer to him. I remember an old retired Navy SEAL saying, it's the hard times, it's the crisis that you remember. You don't remember the easy times. You remember the tough stuff that you went through. You think about it. Talk to any veteran. They're not going to tell you about the easy times, are they? Talk to Benny Warren sometime. He's not going to tell you about the good old things that he did that were fun. He's going to tell you about the times where he got shot and torn up and thrown out of a plane into 45-mile-an-hour winds and all that kind of stuff. I like listening to Benny's stories, by the way. If you want to hear some real honest-to-goodness war stories and military stories, talk to Benny. It's the challenges, not the bonbons. We all like bonbons, I think, whatever they are. I'd like to think there's something with chocolate in them anyway. In Potiphar's house, Joseph gained position of prominence. Life is good. He's young. We think of the harsh treatment of his brothers and the hardship of being sold into slavery, but we don't consider often that once in Egypt, he found himself in the lap of luxury. He found himself as the most powerful person in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was one of the most prominent and powerful people in Egypt. Life is good, and we've already considered that the dangers of that are that we become soft. We make no further progress in life. And that danger was there for Joseph, and God knew that. So God had a plan for Joseph that was greater than just mere circumstance. Joseph's time in prison was necessary to bring his soul into iron. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. If you've ever been an athlete who was part of a team that you trained and trained, and then you got to go to the championships, and you won. Anybody ever been through that experience? Muhammad Ali once said, I hated every moment of training, but he loved the glory of being the victor in a fight. Are you imprisoned right now, even though you know you were right? Have you ever felt like the best years of your life slipped away, maybe in monotony, obscurity, held back by opposition, held back by misunderstanding? What really is the purpose of all of this? Let me encourage you to take heart. Time is never wasted when God is putting us through things for His glory and for His purpose. God brings our soul into iron through the circumstances of life. Let's consider the comfort in the midst of Joseph's suffering now. The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house, and when Joseph went to prison, guess what? The Lord was there too. Did you know there is nowhere that you can go that God's not there? If you ever wonder about that, or you want to be encouraged by His presence everywhere all the time, go to Psalm 139. I know I've mentioned before, that's my favorite psalm. Psalm 139 is someplace that I visit frequently just to remind myself that God is not some guy sitting somewhere in the sky looking down on everything. God is. God is. He is the great I am. No matter where you go, He is there. He is with you. Joseph went to prison and God was there with him. The only thing that severs our fellowship with God is sin. Joseph was not in prison because of his sin. He was there because he stood firm in righteousness. It was a false accusation. As we walk with God, God walks with us. That's relationship. That's what God has designed us for, is to be in relationship with Him. God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening in the garden before there was anything separating them. Sin separates. But God has made a way in Jesus Christ for us to have relationship and to walk with Him. So whether we're in a mansion or in a prison, we can sing praise to God because we know we're walking with Him. Take note of the friend that God provided Joseph. Have you ever thought about this? God provided Joseph with a friend in this dark time. Look again at verses 21 to 23. We just read them, chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in prison under Joseph's authority. He gave him a friend in the prison warden. He gave him favor. God gave Joseph favor in the eyes of that man. He had encouragement. He had comfort because of this man. God not only gave him mercy and a friend, He gave Joseph hope. Let's read the first four verses now of chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 1. After this, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker offended their master and the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guards assigned Joseph to them as their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. How is this hope? Well, Joseph is put in charge of two royal prisoners. Maybe the king had a hot temper and the offense of these two was something trivial. And so Joseph may have, it makes sense. You're being put in charge of these two. They're normally the ones that stand in the very presence of Pharaoh. Maybe Pharaoh's going to get over his offense, whatever it is, and he's going to welcome these guys back in, and they can tell Pharaoh about Joseph. It could have been a thought that Joseph had and was hoping for, but then God increased Joseph's hope. And He gave dreams to the butler and to the baker. And He gave Joseph the interpretation. Look at verse 8. We had dreams, they said to him, but there's no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." And Joseph seized that opportunity to petition the butler, because, by the way, the butler is the only one that's getting out of this thing alive and is going to be back in front of Pharaoh. Or was it the baker? It was the baker, wasn't it? The cupbearer. No, it's the cupbearer. I'm getting myself all. So it is the butler, the cupbearer. When all goes well, verse 14, when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this prison. He has real hope now. And I think that because the Lord was with Joseph and because Joseph was walking with the Lord, I believe that Joseph had confidence that God was working things together for good. I think that Joseph was not feeling lost at this point, but rather, this is my opportunity. God's giving me the opportunity to say to this man, hey, when you are in front of Pharaoh again, tell him about me. Because he had confidence that Pharaoh would listen. The only explanation for it is that Joseph believed God would make Pharaoh willing to listen, because why would he listen otherwise? Again, Joseph was a slave who was thrown into prison. It had to be confidence that God would open the ears of Pharaoh, not knowing exactly how it would happen. His hope was not in this man. His hope was in Almighty God. He understood that God was in control of events. He understood that none of this was an accident. He did not have the attitude of whatever will be. Rather, Joseph forged ahead. He continued to do that which he knew was right. He continued to be a faithful and obedient servant, even in prison. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 tells us, "And do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." Folks, Joseph didn't have that verse. He didn't have a Bible. He walked with God, trusting in God without anything other than just a trust in God. Imagine that. What excuse do we have in our lives? We've got the whole Bible in front of us. Joseph could have said, "What value is godliness? I may as well live as others do." But instead, Joseph recognized that God was with him. And so he forged ahead. Do right because you love God. Because you know that it is his desire. Because it puts gladness in your heart, and you know it puts gladness in God's heart. Don't do right as an escape from hell. Don't do right because you don't want to go to hell. Do right because it pleases God and you love him. Some will make that accusation, "Oh, well, Christianity is just about, you know, threatening people with hell, and so, you know, you want to escape hell." No, Christianity is about coming into right relationship with Almighty God and walking with him and loving him and doing what is right because we love him. Not fear of punishment, but because we love our Heavenly Father. That should be the motivation of our lives. That was the motivation of Joseph's life. And then when we're misunderstood, when we're treated wrongly, we won't fall. We won't fail. We won't turn on others. We will do kindness even when we are treated with evil. We should never be surprised when dark times come into our lives. Sometimes we have to be deprived. so that we can learn to walk by faith. So chapter 40 ends on a low note only from a human point of view. Look at verse 23 of chapter 40. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Joseph's attitude was different. He knew that the same God who had revealed interpretations of dreams to him was the God that would one day fulfill the dreams that he had so long ago in his father's house. I mean, think about that. Joseph had dreams when he was young about ruling over his own family. And even the stars and the moon and the sun and all of that bowing down to him. And now he sees the fulfillment of these dreams that he's interpreted for these men in prison. That is when you take heart. Take heart. We have the same guarantee today. The same guarantee that Joseph had. What is that? Well, it's found in Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Father in heaven, I thank you for Joseph. I thank you for these lessons that we can learn from his life. I thank you, Father, that he stood firm, that his soul was brought into iron, that he forged ahead, that he trusted you even in the darkest times. Father, give us that same iron in our souls. Give us that same strength that we might forge ahead, that we might stand firm in the faith, that we may not waver, and that we would not fear what anyone could do to us, because we belong to you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.